It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and directed by Max Hutter. Before our story, here are Fibber and Molly with a word for you.
I saw that new neighbor of ours down at the grocery store today, Molly.
You mean the young mother across the way? The one with the three children?
The very same. Boy, you should have seen her buying up the place.
Really?
Baby food, cereals, 4 quarts of milk. Says she shops that way every day.
Well, I shouldn't wonder. With three growing youngsters, the food and clothing bills get bigger right along with them. And so does a mother's responsibilities, too. I guess that's why so many dads are making sure their wives will have extra money during those budget-busting years through a Prudential Family Income Plan.
You see, friends, if anything happens to you, the Family Income Plan will pay your family an income every month while the kids are growing up, money they'll need for food, clothing, and schooling. And because it provides this helping hand to you mothers only during your youngsters' tot to teenage years, it costs amazingly little. You can take it from us, if you've got growing children, it's time you called your Prudential agent about a family income plan for your family. You couldn't make a wiser move.
Mr. McGee was downtown at Kramer's drugstore this morning when a great idea struck him. He hurried right home with it, and here he is now coming in the front door at 79 Wistful Vista.
Hey, Molly. Molly, I'm home.
Well, greetings, dearie.
Oh, hey, and guess what?
You got downtown, forgot what I sent you for. Oh, I knew I should have written you a note.
No. Relax. I remembered every single solitary item. Both of them. Cold cream and toothpaste.
Well, good for you, and thank you. Where are they?
Well, I left them on the bus. But I didn't forget to buy them. When you send me downtown to buy something, boy, I buy it.
I'm a lucky girl.
Well, I'll call the bus company about it later. But that ain't what I started to tell you when I said, guess what? I got a terrific idea downtown for a story.
Oh?
Oh, this will make a serial for a magazine, a movie, a book, maybe a novel even. I hurried right home, so I don't forget it. Where's my typewriter, my portable typewriter?
Well, it's upstairs in the spare bedroom closet.
Good.
But it doesn't have a ribbon in it.
Mm.
You used the ribbon to wrap Mort Toops' Christmas present last year and got ink all over yourself, and Mort got ink all over himself.
Okay, I'm way ahead of you. I bought a typewriter ribbon downtown the minute this idea hit me. I put it in my coat pocket here so I wouldn't forget it and leave it on the bus. And I'll run up and get my little portable and put it...
Ah, such efficiency. I'll phone the bus company to watch for the cold cream and the toothpaste. Why, I ever ask him to... Hello, bus company. See, my husband left a package on the 14th Street bus. Huh? Oh, a description? Well, he's about 5'6½ with brown hair and a memory like a tea strainer. Huh? Oh, a description of the package. Well, yes. Well... It's in a bag from Kramer's drugstore, and it's a jar of cold cream and a tube of toothpaste. Yes. Well, thanks. I'll call you tomorrow. Bye.
I'll set her down right here on the end table and put that new ribbon in before you can say, somebody's coming up the steps.
Hmm? Oh. Come in. Well, Mr. Wimple, come in.
Hi, Wimp.
Hello, folks. I was just passing by, and I thought, oh, fixing your typewriter, are you?
Just getting ready to put a new ribbon in it, Wimp. Going to write a book. I got an idea for a novel that I predict will become an American classic.
Really?
Yep. See what you think of this idea, Wimp. It's going to be the story of a man pitted against the forces of nature in a struggle to the death against the denizens of the briny deep.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, indeedy.
I'm glad you like it. Now, let me see. This ribbon must go through this way. No, goes through here, I guess.
How did you ever think that one up, Mr. McGee? That is a dandy.
Well, you know what was funny? The way this idea hit me. Just all to once, sort of. I was standing on the curb in front of Kramer's drugstore, you see. Just watching the water run down the sewer.
Oh, I love to do that, Mr. McGee. Some of my best inspirations have come when I was just standing on the curb watching the water run down the sewer.
It does sound very inspirational, all right.
You know, I got the thought for my very first poem that way, and I won a prize with it, too.
Yeah?
With your first poem? How exciting.
Doggone ribbon don't seem to want to go.
Do you remember it, Mr. Wimple? Say it for us. Go on, recite it. Do you remember it?
Word for word, Mrs. McGee. It went, I love to stand and watch the water running down the sewer, all full of matchsticks, butts, and such. It's really quite impure. But as it gurgles happily along its merry way, this much we can be sure of. The sewer is here to stay.
Isn't that delightful?
You won a prize? With that?
Honorable mention, yes. In the Sewer Digger's Journal. And I hope you do even better than that with your book, Mr. McGee. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute.
The soap that gets you extra clean is Dial, Dial, Dial. The soap that keeps you extra clean is Dial, Dial, Dial.
Men who hate to fuss with separate deodorants really go for the Dial idea. Because just your daily bath or shower with Dial keeps you nice to be around all the time. You see, normal perspiration has no odor until skin bacteria attack it. They cause the odor. Ordinary soaps leave thousands of these bacteria. But Dial removes up to 95% of them. For Dial's the only leading soap with AT7 or hexachlorophene. There's nothing else as good. And Dial's AT7 clings to your skin, continuously protecting you for several days if need be. Dial doesn't stop normal perspiration, but it does stop odor before it starts. Aren't you glad you use Dial soap? And don't you wish everybody did?
My gosh, this ribbon sure is inky. Dad's thing don't seem to fit either.
Maybe. Well, how are you doing, McGee? Get the typewriter fixed yet? Well, heavenly days, look at you.
I see me.
I don't know how one little typewriter ribbon can make so much. How did you get ink smudged all over the seat of your pants, for heaven's sake? You haven't been sitting on the typewriter.
No, no, no. That happened an hour ago. I didn't mean to. My hands were inky, and well...
Honestly, McGee, every day all over the world, millions of little stenographers put ribbons in typewriters, and they don't wipe their hands on the seat of their... Well, how did you get your trousers so smeared up?
I was looking for a handkerchief to wipe some ink off the end of my nose that I got there when it itched.
A handkerchief?
And I searched through both hip pockets three times before I realized I didn't have a handkerchief.
So what did you use?
Nothing. By that time, my hands were clean again. So I wiped the ink off the end of my nose with the back of my hand.
Oh, dear, if this isn't...
Doggone it, I don't know whether I got the wrong size ribbon or what. Hooked the dad-ratted thing through here three different ways, and it still don't...
Hold it a minute, McGee. Come in.
Hi, Mr. McGee. Hi, Miss McGee. Hi.
Hello, Teeny.
Oh, hi, sis.
I'm just going home from school on my lunch hour. Oh, boy, are you ever a mess. Ink all over him.
Well...
He's putting a ribbon in his typewriter, Teeny.
Yes, and if you'll kindly not bother me now, sis, I'll appreciate it.
You're doing it wrong, Mr. McGee. That's the wrong way.
Oh, it is it?
Sure, wrong way.
Teeny, I wouldn't bother
Don't you worry about it now, Teeny. You just trot along home. I'm busy.
McGee.
Well, gee whiz, I'm trying to get this ribbon in before I forget my whole story idea.
Well, all you have to do is put the spools on these little spindles there and then thread the ribbon through these doohickeys here. That's all you have to do.
Doggone it, Teeny. I know what I'm doing. Dad-rat it anyhow.
McGee, watch your language in front of the child.
Oh, well.
Yeah, watch it. I pick up things. Us kids pick up things like that.
Come on, Teeny, let you and me go out to the kitchen and have some cookies. Mr. McGee's busy.
Yeah, grouchy, too. Anything I can't stand, it's grouchy people, especially to little children.
Smart aleck. Now, let me see now. Where'd she say to put the spools? Oh, on these spindles here. Yeah. Then she said to thread the ribbon. Hey, I think this is... Yeah, that's right. Well, what do you know about that? I got it fixed. Ah, I got it, Molly. I got it. It works perfect. I told you I could get this ribbon in. Boy, oh boy, now I'll get started on my novel because this is the greatest idea anybody ever had. Come in.
Hello, Dr. Gamble.
Him.
Hiya, Molly, and good day to you, Pulphead.
Hi, Lump Rump.
Sit down, Doctor.
Thanks, Molly. I can't stay. I just stopped to tell you how much my mother enjoyed having Thanksgiving dinner with you.
Well, we loved having her, Doctor. Sorry Miss Cuddleson couldn't be with us, too.
Yeah, although I figured if your mom and your girlfriend ever got together and swapped notes about you, you'd be cooked, Fat.
They have gotten together several times. Get along fine.
Well, naturally.
Although the way Mom quizzed Miss Cuddleson at lunch the other day, you'd think we were about to elope or something.
Oh, that's very foolish of her, George.
Well, of course.
Your mother ought to know you can't even climb a ladder yourself, much less carry Cuddles down one.
McGee, stop it.
Oh, he makes me sick.
Go write your book and hush.
Book? He's writing a book again?
Yeah, he's writing a book again. Ha! No kidding, Doc. This time I got it. I know I got it. Listen, just listen to this story idea I got.
All right, shoot.
Okay. It's a story about a man. An old man. And this old man makes his living fishing, see? And one day he catches the biggest marlin he ever saw in his life, and the whole story is about how he fights to get that big fish back to shore to sell it. But the sharks eat it up, and when he finally gets back... nothing. Just a skeleton of the fish. Is that a great idea or not?
Great. It's sensational.
Am I right when I say that ought to be a bestseller?
Absolutely. It's already a bestseller.
Yeah, well, that's... already?
Why, of course, McGee. Ernest Hemingway wrote it. It's called The Old Man and the Sea, and it just won the Nobel Prize.
You mean that book I borrowed from Doc last year? That's it?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I wondered where I got that idea.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's where I got it. Sure.
Sure.
Oh, well, I'm going to put this typewriter back up in the spare closet, Molly. Next time I get a great idea for a book, I'll write old Ernie first and see if he's going to use it.
Fibber and Molly will be right back.
It's an amazing sensation. The music sounds as if the musicians are actually in your living room. Yes, that's the superb realism you get with RCA Victor's new orthophonic high-fidelity Victrola phonographs. Remember these four words. New orthophonic high-fidelity. They're important. They mean a wonderful new kind of sound reproduction with extra power, extra clarity, extra sensitivity, and extra wide range. Now all this can be yours in a stunning console, finished in mahogany, for as little as $199.95. That's little enough, but lower still is the price of the Smart Compact Table model. That can be yours for as little as $139.95. To get all the facts, visit your RCA Victor dealer. Ask him to demonstrate the new orthophonic high-fidelity Victrola phonographs. After one demonstration, you'll never be satisfied with less. Remember, the world's best names for quality. RCA and RCA Victor.
And after all, if Ernest Hemingway hadn't thought of it first, you'd have a big, successful novel. That's coming pretty close.
Yeah, sure. I'll get other ideas.
Why, sure you will.
In fact, I got one kicking around in my head now about the Navy. About a captain, maybe, named Cleek or something. And the crew starts a mutiny and...
Tomorrow, dearie, tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. Mutiny tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed with Bill Thompson as Mr. Wimple and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. This is John Wald inviting you back tomorrow night when a dream causes Mr. McGee much concern. Good night.
Join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.